Now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
With 61,000 people show up to hear Brian Urlacher speak at his basically an event to have his jersey retired.
No. I don't think so.
Dan Hampton?
No. No shot.
It's not going to happen.
Cap, 60,000 people turned out last night to put on shiny bracelets and listen to Taylor Swift be a sex
symbol. That's different. They paid to get entertained.
I mean, there are a lot of people around here. How about if Cutler were to hold a press conference to announce he's walking away from his contract? You might get 60,000 people to show up for that.
Exactly.
We should be so lucky. It's win-win.
Yeah! I've never seen Soldier Field more alive. I've been to Soldier Field now this summer twice in the last month. The Blackhawks rally.
Yep.
And now for the Taylor Swift concert. Bears play there's going to be a bit of a letdown.
It is. I mean,
it's bad. It's so bad.
Disappointed!
It's so bad!
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Baltic Stone scores!
Beauty. Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap'n Haw on the air on Comcast Sportsnet WGN+. He is David Haw, lead columnist of the Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson. We call him the rising star around these places. He is our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. And Pat Castell, PG-13, is our great director. Good morning, buddy.
Morning, Cap. How are you?
Good, good. Late night last night. Had some Cubs, but
had
disappointing loss.
Disappointing loss for the Cubs. You can't win them all, but I think that very compelling game because of just a lot to... lot to take in because it was the debut of a Rafael Soriano, some other things with Soler coming through. A lot of things we can talk about with the Cubs game. I think big picture-wise, continue to look at what they need to do down as they head toward the trade deadline. Big news overnight was, I think, in baseball, maybe out of Detroit. Cubs-Reds was very interesting, compelling. We'll break that down. We have Lance McAllister, our guy from WLW, coming on at 10:55 to talk about the Cubs and the Reds. But the Tigers are sellers. And there's a fire sale in Detroit. And that's intriguing. And that's interesting. And anytime that David Price is involved, because that's a guy who's on the Cubs, has to be on the Cubs radar, you want to follow what's going on. And if you can improve your ball club, you want to find out if that's something that makes sense. Even though I don't think that it's time to go after David Price. But it's something that's fun to consider. Certainly, that's the news of the day when you talk about Cubs and possibility and other things. I wrote about the bullpen today. Mm-hmm. We can talk about how that all is going to shake out because Rafael Soriano is here. Jonathan Papelbon is rumored to be the object of the Cubs' desire. We'll see. What do you think?
Well, last night's game I found highly disappointing. First of all,
because the whole papal blessing thing.
No, the blessing,
like Francis,
is a
what can you,
big picture.
I
thing.
Thought we were okay.
That's big picture. Dexter Fowler hits one in the gap and comes busting around, decides to try and stretch it into a double, and he's out. I love aggressive play. That was a stupid, stupid decision because you had nobody out in the inning. You ended up scoring on the Soler hit. That cost you a monster inning, potentially. Thought it was a dumb play. Got to be smarter. Smarter with what you do. Rafael Soriano, I don't see him being a high-leverage, closer-type guy anymore. I don't.
Well, I think you're basing that on last night, and if you're basing anything on last night, you would be disappointed.
I'm also basing it on the end of last season.
Okay.
With the
nastiness. He's 35. He's got 207 career saves.
Mm-hmm.
You paid him a prorated contract of $4 million, which is you're going to pay him about two, but he has incentives based on games finished. He has a pedigree.
He does.
And I do believe that you make quite a statement when you bring him in and you dispatch Edwin Jackson, even though he's been Edwin Jackson, the symbol of your biggest, dumbest move as a front office. He's still a popular teammate. So you make a statement to Rafael Soriano, you're going to be part of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night in a shaky but scoreless eighth inning, he didn't do a whole lot to say, oh, I see what they saw. Matter of fact, he did more to say, as I wrote this morning, don't stop calling about Papelbon.
Agreed.
Because you can never have enough late inning relievers when you're in a pennant race.
Be the Royals in terms of the bullpen.
Isn't that the idea?
Yeah.
Because look at last night, and everybody can talk about the mockery of make fun of, you know, the Clayton Richard experiment. He's a fifth starter.
He was okay.
He was okay.
Pitched into the sixth inning.
All you want your fifth starter, correct me if I'm wrong, get into the sixth inning, give up three or fewer runs, and kind of give you a chance to get to the bullpen.
Correct.
Because your number one and two guys, Arrieta and Lester, in theory, you're not going to need anybody but your eighth and ninth inning guys, perhaps. They're going to give you seven strong. So in Clayton Richard, you're not asking him to be John Lester. You're asking him to be serviceable. Get into the sixth inning, and then your bullpen can take the rest of the way, a la the Royals. So, Soriano, a little shaky. He's got a pedigree. Let's see what he can muster out of this final 3 months here. You've got Jason Mott, who you trust, who's been very good. Mott with some moxie. He's got a lot of that.
He does. Still throws hard.
Papelbon would be a guy that would fit in there, you would think, very nicely if you don't have to give up too much to get him. And I don't think, based on what the rumors and reports are, you'd have to give up that much to get him. But you see where I'm going here? Because Justin Grimm gave up the home run last night. The bullpen did not give the Cubs a chance last night.
Yeah, it didn't protect the 4-3 lead.
But overall, I don't think you'd say the bullpen has been the most disappointing part of this year.
Oh, absolutely not.
So I think you can trust them. You want to supplement the bullpen, get it as many relievers as possible, and your starting issues that you believe are problems become less of an issue.
Okay, so Steve Rosenblum has an interesting column in this morning on online edition of the Tribune.
ChicagoTribune.com.
Correct. And he talks about David Price. Now, that was the development overnight that the Tigers are in sell mode.
Yep.
And by the way, White Sox were off last night, Cardinals in town.
But they did have a golf tournament. And I think Hawk hit him straight. So there's our Sox. Our Sox hit for the first segment.
Right. Cardinals will be in town tonight. Michael Wacha against Carlos Rodon.
Ooh, it's going to hurt to see Michael Wacha because didn't the Sox pass on him as well?
They did.
Like a lot of teams.
A lot of teams.
Okay.
All right. So.
Digress.
Rosenblum writes this column this morning in the wake of last night's news. And a lot of people are saying, don't give anything up to get David Price. Just wait till the offseason and then sign him. Well, what if I told you that, as Rosenblum first said in his column, that you make the trade conditional that David Price accepts an extension right now? So you don't take a chance getting to November when free agency hits and the Yankees come a-calling. Cubs are at 150, we're at 200. They're at 200, we're at 250. And the Dodgers, who will want to add pitching, they're 250, we're at 300. You make the trade right now, conditional on he agrees to a 5-year or 6-year extension.
I don't think it sounds terribly realistic. Do you?
If he truly wants to be here, why not?
Yeah, okay, it's a very romantic baseball notion. How many times do you see that happening? I mean, it's sort of the Jeff Samardzija argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have waited this long and you have free agency that beckons and you want to test it, why would you agree to a deal that gives you – I know he may be motivated to pitch in Chicago for Joe Maddon, but what agent is going to suggest that it's in the best interest of his client to take himself out of the bidding when he's going to be the most sought-after free agent of the winter – and say, oh, yeah, I will, you know, theoretically take less to sign for the security of playing for the Cubs.
Well, how much less are you asking to take?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think you can go wrong necessarily with getting David Price. But if you add David Price now, under your pie-in-the-sky scenario, what are you going to have to give up? You still have to give something up to get him.
Agreed.
And that versus waiting, because if he's as motivated to play for you now, he's going to be motivated to sign with you later. And I think that's the thing you have to weigh, is that what are we going to have to give up now that are going to make David Price harder to win games because we just gave up one of our top two prospects? I know you're getting carried away. It's great. This enthusiasm is fun. It's July, and we're not talking about flipping players.
What if the Tigers said, okay, We'll give you him and Yoenis Cespedes. He's going to be a free agent,
right,
too.
Right. Cespedes for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let you rent those two guys. You can sign Price long term if you want.
Uh-huh.
And we want back
Schwarber.
No, they want Javi Baez.
Right.
They want Carl Edwards Jr.
Mm-hmm.
They want Schwarber, those three. And you're signing Price long term. Do you do that?
I would say that it would be very tempting to do. I would also say that if you did that, then everything that you have said the last 4 years has run contrary to what you just did. So I would feel a little bit foolish for buying into a plan that you just changed right when you're about to execute it. I would say no. I would stamp no. I wouldn't make that trade because there's no guarantee that you're going to have David Price unless you have signed him to your fantasy extension or Cespedes past the season.
No, whereas, I'm including it, making that Price agrees to a deal.
Whereas Edwards, Schwarber, and Baez have been identified as pieces you can win with down the road. That's the way you're building.
I'm not saying I do it.
That's
I'm
the way you're building this cubby, this big cubby blue machine.
All right, coming up on the show, 9:55, Shane Bacon, the golf analyst for Fox Sports. I could eat some bacon right now.
Whoa.
I'm a big bacon fan.
That would be good.
Turkey bacon. Dan Wiederer, Bears beat writer, Chicago Tribune, will be with us 10:25. Talk about his article on Lamar Houston and more. And some changes in the way you can cover the Chicago Bears via the media. It's ridiculous. And Lance McAllister, WLW Radio 700 and ESPN 1530 in Cincy. We'll talk about the Cubs and the Reds and the Reds in sell mode.
You're a well-traveled guy now. I got to Europe and everything. Have you ever ordered a brownie for dessert and it comes out with a big slab of bacon on top?
I have not, but that's like a big thing.
That happened 2 weeks ago now when we were on vacation. My son ordered a brownie.
With something.
No, didn't even tell you on the menu, bacon. They bring it out. There's this nice brownie. It's got some chocolate sauce and a big slab of bacon.
Yeah, glazed and infused has a long john with bacon on it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
All right, quick time out. We'll get to some calls. We'll have our guests. We want to look back at last night's result. Cubs lose 5-4. And Zach Johnson, very emotional after winning the British Open.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast SportsNet.
High and deep right field. Way back. Way gone. Let's meet again. The third homer tonight. Very little doubt about that one. Off the bat of Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce hit that one. It still hasn't landed, and it beat the Cubs 5-4 last night in a game you watched on Comcast Sportsnet. You'll get that game again tonight at 6 o'clock following a 5 o'clock edition of Sports Talk Live. Holly and I will have the postgame show after tonight's ballgame. Jason Hamill goes to the bump.
Chris Berman might say that one landed in Dayton.
That did.
It was keep going.
Crushed.
So that was an example of how the bullpen –
that was courtesy Comcast Sports.
Yes, and the bullpen from the Cubs did not come through last night. It's been rare that that has happened. But let me ask you this. We talked before I wrote my column and after Cap yesterday and last night. But they do have a nice problem emerging because I think that when you look at Chris Bosio, who I called this morning in the paper one of the most underrated assistants in Chicago sports, because you look at the Cubs pitching, and as you pointed out yesterday on our show, statistically, their starting rotation is as good as it comes, as good as it gets in baseball. The rotation has been surprisingly consistent. The bullpen has had its moments, but I think that it's very little to complain about. They have used a committee to close, but you know closers, and if you get closers, closers like committees of one. They're like hockey goalies. They want to be that guy. They want to be left alone to do their job. Rafael Soriano reports to the Cubs yesterday, says, I just want to do my job. What's his job? What will be his job? How do you see his role?
I don't see him as the closer.
Evolving. But do you think that he understands that? Do you think that he will accept that?
Yes.
What makes you say that?
I think that he will. No, I don't think he expects to be the sixth inning long guy that Edwin Jackson was. I think he thinks he's a setup guy, and in certain situations he'll be asked to close, but he has not been guaranteed
even
that he'll close.
Even if the Cubs don't make a move for Papelbon, do you think that Soriano would be content setting up, for instance, for Jason Mott?
Yeah, if it's working, yes.
He was a setup guy with the Yankees for a pretty good closer back in the day.
For Rivera.
Yeah. Not bad experience as a setup guy. 35, a lot of miles on those tires, 207 saves. Isn't it interesting, though, and I don't mean to beat this Papelbon idea into the ground, but I do think it's intriguing to me as much as anything because he's 15 for 15 in saves. He does create some chemistry issues. Am I naive to think that Jonathan Papelbon and all his baggage, all those concerns would be – I think, taken care of because of, and maybe less to worry about because he's got one of his best buddies, John Lester, here, mm-hmm. and also Joe Maddon is a manager who understands how to deal with difficult personalities.
And
is it naive to think that that would all take care of itself?
Might be wishful thinking.
Maybe. It might be a little bit wishful thinking, wouldn't it? But I think at this point in time, I just really believe that's where the Cubs can get better. That's where the Cubs will build a belief system that they can really contend if they have quality, veteran, proven arms.
Okay, and what if he's on the mound to close out a World Series? The guy that did it in Boston and Chicago?
You mean in terms of his legacy?
Yeah.
His baseball legacy would be – what? Imagine that. He was on the mound in 2007.
Yep.
For the last out, John Lester had the victory. Isn't it weird, though, or it could be very exciting to consider if you're a Cubs fan, the Cubs could have the guy that got the last out in the 2007 World Series, the guy who got the last out in the 2011 World Series, and the guy with 207 career saves all in the same bullpen as your options for the late inning. So you know what I'm saying when I say you can never have enough late inning arms that have done it before. That's their security and experience, and that builds confidence. And people say, what about the bats? What about the bats? I don't know. Look at last night's lineup, and you see Schwarber and Bryant and Rizzo and Soler. And Addison Russell has two hits. And I'm thinking, I think the bats might come around. You've got to believe that these guys are going to have an opportunity to improve, to get better, to come through. I don't want to replace any of those guys if I'm Joe Maddon, if I'm Theo or Jed. So every time we talk about the bats, who would you take out to put somebody in? Do you tell me? I don't know. I mean, you want depth on the bench. You want somebody to...
You know who's killing you at the plate?
Dexter Fowler.
He was on base a bunch last
night. He had two hits last night, but he's hitting .235 in the leadoff.
Yeah, you know who else is killing you?
Castro?
Yeah.
Okay, Castro's killing you.
Your guy is
I know my
brutal.
Guy. You want to say he's my guy? He's my guy. Addison Russell, up until two hits last night, was pressing. Did you see where Patrick Mooney, give him credit, he had a nice little nugget in his... story
about
maybe
the
a couple
Stephen
days ago.
King book,
the Stephen King novel he gave to Addison Russell to take his mind off baseball.
That was from Joe Maddon.
That's great.
Read that. Just quit thinking about baseball.
I think it was the title was 11/22/63. It was like somebody goes back in time to try to change the
Kennedy assassination.
Imagine reading that on the team plane and trying to get your mind. That'll get your mind off baseball.
Teammates are going, what are you reading over there?
They might be reading something else Joe Maddon gave him. He's got a little Phil Jackson in him. So I don't know. I mean, I think that you can make a good argument for the Cubs to pursue any different direction. The David Price stuff is very, very compelling.
And last night's game when Dexter Fowler came busting around first and decides to try and stretch it.
That bothered you.
That really ticked me off. It was dumb.
Yeah, because the payoff wasn't worth it.
You can't make the first out in that situation when it would be second and third, nobody out. You end up getting a big hit out of Soler. That was bad.
Well, it was aggressiveness. You wanted to be aggressive, but you wanted to be smart. It was very White Sox-like, frankly.
What if I told you couldn't get Papelbon and you could get Price instead? That's all your money.
Well, I think you would make the best of it, and I don't think that's a bad consolation prize. Again, I do believe that to get a David Price, to get a Cole Hamels, to get an ace, a proven bona fide $150 million-like ace, John Lester type, you're going to have to give up one of your top prospects. And I just don't know if the Cubs are, would be consistent in their philosophy to do that.
I don't know if you'd have to get David Price.
Come on, man. What are you gonna, you're not going to get it for nothing.
I'm not saying for nothing, but what they gave up last year to get him, they didn't overwhelm
the Tigers.
Tampa.
Gave up a couple prospects, and they're going to want a couple in return. So would Billy McKinney and Carl Edwards do it?
Would that done.
But would that be enough?
I don't know.
I don't either. I think Dave Dombrowski's going to want to get some return on that investment, even though it was a bad investment in retrospect. You've got to, you know, I'm surprised from the Tigers' perspective that they are so willing to concede right now.
I give them credit. They're like, we're not good enough to win it. We're reset.
Who would have thought that in terms of declarations of...
They'd do it before the White Sox.
Exactly. The team in the AL Central that is saying, okay, well, they're not saying it yet. It's being reported, and they're sort of denying it but not denying it. But who'd have thought that the team to first wave the white flag in the AL Central would be the Tigers?
Who are way ahead of the Sox.
And the White Sox are sitting there like, oh, yeah, we're still going to be competitive. Oh, we got the Cardinals coming in town. Oh, okay, we're going to win. What are they waiting for?
I have no idea.
Who do you want, Jeff Samardzija or David Price?
David Price.
Done deal.
Not even
close. I just had to ask.
9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Big autism outing on Monday up at Twin Orchard. I'll be honored to be part of that for a great, great cause, finding a cure for autism. 312-235-2525. Check out Apt on the web at abtapt.com. Ask for our buddy Steve Shapiro. David Crestwood has a thought. We'll get to that. Sox and Cardinals tonight. Cubs and Reds. Game two of a four-game set. Double dip tomorrow. We'll take a timeout and come right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Socio is good, so it's good to see Socio. He smelled really good. Got to find out what his aftershave is. We had a good conversation. He's ready to roll. He feels really good. He'll let me know if we've had that conversation in the past, and it's always been good. Is he good to go tonight? Is he not good to go tonight? How does he feel? He's always been very honest with me, so I feel comfortable about it.
Socio, as Joe Madden likes to call him. Rafael Soriano, who pitched last night, wasn't great. Didn't give up a run.
Yeah.
But who was the last hitter that he faced who flied out the center? He threw him this, like...
It looked like that was going to go...
Right here, and he hit it, and as soon as he hit it, he
I know. Ugh! He missed it.
Knew he just missed
just
it.
Just missed it. Yeah. Soriano smelled good before the game. Maybe had the whiff of mediocrity during it.
Correct. Yeah. Well said. David Crestwood's on the line on Cap and Haw, 312-235-2525. Hey, David, what's up? Going on with you, buddy, this
hey,
morning?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys, what's going on? I love your show, man.
Thank
I'm a
you.
Third shifter. I listen to it all the time in the morning.
Thanks.
Give me something to listen to.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
First of all, thank God I got rid of that bump, Edward Jackson. And I'm with you. I like Mott. I would like Mott as the closer all the time. He's got character. The guy's crazy. You know, all he doesn't do is talk to the ball. You know, he pounds it on his thigh. That's what baseball needs, a guy like that guy. And this is coming from a Southside Cub fan, too, by the way.
Do you think he can sustain it, Dave? Do you have confidence that this can continue into September? He just started closing probably in the last 3 weeks or so consistently.
Give him a shot. I don't know. I just like what I see. I just like it here. And don't get rid of – I'm with you, too. Don't bring Samardzija back here. Get Price or get somebody else. Do not bring Samardzija back here.
Thanks, Dave. But,
I just think you'd be overpaying, Dave, to get him. He turned down $80 or $85 million, talking about serious money to bring him in here. And good guy, solid. I'd rather try and do a little bit better.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take care.
Enjoy the rest
Appreciate
of your
it.
Day, buddy.
Yeah, I think the Jason Mott's intriguing, Cap. I just don't know if he's got the staying power to
could be an elite closer again.
To be a guy that in September you can say some of those big series, because that's what this is all about.
Okay, when Chapman came in last night.
Yeah.
Even though he threw.
Can you get him?
He's available. 44 pitches the night before.
Yeah.
They used him last night.
Doesn't matter.
100 miles an hour. Goodbye. See you later. Thanks.
And it wasn't like he came in to face the bottom of the Cubs order. He came in for Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo.
And got them all.
And Schwarber is going to be a very good hitter. He looked overmatched. Okay. Bryant. That's not – he's going to win a lot of those battles. I thought last night you'd like to see Chris Bryant. He went the other way. He's been struggling a little bit, I think, by his standards.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to see him go the other way for that double.
I think he's close to breaking out. Mark that down. Because yesterday he almost hit one out. They caught.
Yes.
Then he got the ground rule double.
And he had a very good swing against Chapman.
He did.
But he missed it. It happens, right? It's baseball. So Bryant didn't get his
he
way.
He flied out, right?
Yeah. I believe so. Yes, he flew out.
And then Rizzo was overmatched.
He looked like it was a bad matchup. Not that he's going to always be overmatched, but lefty-lefty, and I think that he buzzed the tower at 102. That's a lot of heat to absorb. So, Chapman, that's the way a closer should look on a contending team. The Reds are not a contending team.
Let me ask you, Mike makes a great point. Is Chapman a sweater? Does he sweat? Because he always so, like, he's got, like, he's like glistening, like he's got stuff all over his arms.
But
or is he just sweaty?
I don't know. I know he's got stuff all over his arms. I imagine that's all legit, right? It's not like any sort of substance that he's using to.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's doing anything illegal because he throws 101.
Historically, we'll ask Lance McAllister.
See, historically a sweaty guy. What is all that glistening?
Hey, one thing I want to ask you about, and again, I know this is maybe the trend in Major League Baseball, but last night I noticed it more than most catchers. Schwarber's knee on fingernails.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
I had not seen the knee.
Have you been giving him advice about manicures?
On fingers.
Has he been going to getting his, you know.
No, Blair actually.
No, stop that. You know, because it was like knee on fingernails, right?
Yeah.
And
I was watching the game in the newsroom with Pat Boyle, and I looked and I went.
So it wasn't just me.
Because usually I've seen guys like tape their fingers.
Yeah, but not neon.
Not neon.
And I think that's becoming a thing, though.
Are those stickers? Is that finger polish?
Well, that's what I want to know. Because if it's fingernail polish, that's a lot of maintenance to go for to go through for a game.
Well, then here's the question.
What do you do after the game?
So after the game, he's going to go get some dinner. He's tired. He's hungry. He's got all day to sleep till he comes. He's catching again tonight. And do you go to dinner with neon fingernail polish and people go, who's that idiot?
No.
Or do you take it off and then have to redo your nails again?
All these questions. I want to know about this Kyle Schwarber neon fingernails trend. And what is it? Do other catchers do it? It makes a lot of sense, though, because you're dealing with a guy in Soriano. How many different catchers has Kyle Schwarber caught? Or pitchers, I'm sorry.
In the big leagues?
I mean, he's already gone through the entire. For a young catcher, they're worried about the communication, you know, the intangibles, all that thing, the leadership role. He's caught a lot of different pitchers already.
Yeah.
And so Soriano comes in, 35-year-old grizzled veteran. How many different catchers has he thrown to? And here's this rookie with neon fingernails.
David Ross has had those too, Mike says.
Really? I don't notice him as much on Ross.
Me either.
He got tossed from the game last night.
Yeah,
he was yelling. What did he say?
Barking. They're stickers? Oh, they're saying they're stickers.
Okay. I did not know that. Do you remember, I asked these guys before the show, they did not. Who was the catcher who came up with the first sort of catcher's glove with the orange outline?
Oh, I do.
You remember back in the
day?
Kind of like in the late 70s, 80s maybe?
The toe of the glove.
Well, the outside of the catcher's mitt was lined
orange.
With sort of like construction sign orange.
Yeah.
So it was like, hey, look, throw the ball here. You couldn't miss it. And that was kind of a new thing. Do you remember who the catcher was?
Rick Dempsey.
No, but that's a good one. I don't think it was Rick Dempsey.
Elrod Hendricks.
No. Think National League.
Steve Yeager.
Yes, Steve Yeager. Steve Yeager. That's the first time I remember seeing it was with Steve Yeager, and I think he was getting a lot of credit for that trend. There might have been others. Rick Dempsey might have had.
The pro model glove was called the Pro Toe by Wilson.
Was that what the name of the catcher's glove was?
The Pro Toe. And it had the little, like, indentation at the top.
Yeah.
So that they could scoop the ball out of the dirt.
I love that.
And they painted it orange. Steve Yeager, you're right.
Steve Yeager, and then I think Rick Dempsey was involved in using it as well, maybe in the American League.
And was Steve Yeager the first guy to...
The neck thing. The neck
that
guard.
That just hung there.
Because he had a bat stuck in his neck.
Right. And if a foul tip hit it, it would hit that thing and deaden it.
So is that what I'm thinking of then? Could he have been the first on both? We have to check that out because I remember Steve Yeager with the neck guard and the orange glove and thinking, that is cool. And so as a young... aspiring major leaguer, you know, everyone wants to play in the majors when they're a teenager, or I think I was younger. I talked my parents into buying a catcher's glove lined with orange.
You had it.
Yeah, I had one of those. I wasn't even a catcher. I caught every, you know, so often. But I wanted to have one just because it was cool. So you save up your paper route money. You go to the store. You talk your parents into pitching in the rest. Boom. You got a cool glove.
First catcher They have Mike Sweeney listed here. Gary Carter.
The texters 847 says, "Come on, guys! Tyler Flowers has had his nails fluorescent for a while. Get over all the hype that everything the Cubs prospects do." Okay, maybe he has, but you know, sometimes you notice like it's just somebody in a different colored dress that just like stands out, or these stood out.
Right.
I don't know I remember Tyler Flowers wearing glasses that helped him hit and see better. I don't remember Tyler Flowers wearing neon fingernails.
I don't either.
I watch Sox games.
So do I.
Montero does the finger stickers too, we're being told at 630. All right, Cap. Have we just not noticed this and everybody else in baseball, why watches baseball, has noticed this forever?
I mean, I've seen a few guys with like colored tape, but I haven't seen it on the actual nail.
It looked like Kyle Schwarber had a manicure pregame, and he went and he caught, and then he was going, you know, he had leaving the Great American Ballpark with neon fingernails after his manicure. Charles Johnson had that mitt too, 630. I think a lot of catchers had that mitt after they introduced that mitt. A lot of catchers went to that orange-lined catching glove. You guys are blind, 708. We're not blind. We're not blind.
In 1976, Steve Yeager was injured when teammate Bill Russell's bat shattered and a large jagged piece hit Yeager, who was in the on-deck circle. The wood hit him in the neck and pierced his esophagus, necessitating surgery. After the incident, Dodgers trainer Bill Buehler invented and patented a device that hangs from a catcher's mask to protect the throat. It is now worn by most catchers around the majors and other leagues.
That's standard. What about the glove, though? What about the construction sign glove? That's what I want to know. 219, hey, please mention a new hitting coach. Forget the fingernail polish. I got a couple emails about that, too, about the Cubs hitting instructor and why the Tribune and we should apply some heat on the Cubs hitting coach.
Apply heat? That's just silly. Silly. By the way, Steve Yeager and Steve Stone have something in common. I want you to tell me what it is.
Steve Yeager and Steve Stone?
Yeah. And not that they're both Jewish.
Okay.
Something else.
I'll have to think about that one. All right. By the way, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
See, you don't even know. 1 year ago today, we're on CSN Chicago.
For the first time?
Yeah, first time.
Really?
Yeah.
What about
surprised
that?
You. What'd you get me?
I didn't get you.
Thank you, by the way.
What'd you get me?
Slipped my mind.
Get the ultimate experience of the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at App in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curve Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today, ABT. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them up at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. It's Apt. ABT, ask for the great Steve Shapiro. Apt.com, their website, app-pleasing people, since 1936. I'll tell you what Steve Stone and Steve Yeager have in common. 312-235-2525. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
Since I've seen him in spring training, I think he's gotten better receiving in general, just holding a strike. He's definitely gotten better blocking. This might sound crazy, but his stance, he's more supple in his stance. It's not as rigid. Beyond that, just calling the game and way he's been, him and Boris are tied at the hip, man. I mean, they are constantly talking strategy, so he's going to get better with that, but he needs to see the league. He needs to understand his pitchers here. He needs to understand the opposition hitters. There's a lot more to understand here than on the triple or double A level, because down there it really doesn't matter, and it doesn't count like it counts here.
That's Joe Maddon talking about the Schwarbs.
Schwarb going to catch again
Kyle
today.
Kyle Schwarber. So,
right?
He's catching again today and one of the two in the double dip tomorrow.
If you want catcher's equipment trivia, we are here for you. You have the first item. I have another one. Go ahead.
Okay, Gio Martinez on Twitter at That's Just Gio 86 says, Cap, welcome back to you guys. Here's the tape. It's been around for a while, and it's called Call It Like the Pros, Don't Get Crossed Up Catcher's Tape. And you put it on your fingernails. Russell Martin did an interview with Amy Lawrence from ESPN and said he started in 2012 getting manicures and having yellow fingernail polish because he was a pirate, put on his nails so that his pitchers could always see his fingers.
But now you can do that without going to the manicure route. You can actually get stickers.
Correct.
Do you think that'll catch on, like, in a fashion sense? Like baseball fans or baseball announcers or
well, if the Schwarbs is hitting 340 with 47 bombs and he's got, like, orange or blue fingernails, I bet people would
do it. If Schwarbs takes off and starts to just be the guy that everyone expects him to be at the plate, you and Holly, for your pre- and post-game shows in August, have to maybe think about going with the
blue
neon
fingernails or neon
fingernail stickers. That would be a thing, you know?
I'm in.
Okay. I knew it wouldn't take much for you.
Hey, what do Steve Yeager and Steve Stone have in common?
Besides the first name, I don't know.
First name, both Jewish, both posed in Playgirl. I just found that on his Wikipedia. Stone,
that's what they have in common? Oh, that's good. I wonder if Stoney knows that he shares that distinction with a Steve Yeager.
Have you ever seen the Stoney thing?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
Okay. Well, how do you top that? Yeah. All right, more catching trivia. We talked about the orange fluorescent stripe around the perimeter of the catcher's glove that I was talking about. Apparently, that was introduced in 1975. When we said Steve Yeager, Dodgers are the ones that came up with the patent. The former GM for the Dodgers, Al Campanis, is the one that introduced the fluorescent stripe. So the Dodgers were the first organization to, you know, kind of bring that to Major League Baseball. It caught on. Now it's a thing.
Pretty cool. Yeah. You still have that glove?
I don't know that I do. I think we got rid of all a bunch of gloves. I have the glove I had from high school baseball, but not that one because that was way back.
That'd be cool to see.
Late 70s. I don't think it's still in the attic anywhere. But anyway, catching trivia.
312-235-2525. Again, White Sox and Cardinals tee it up tonight to start a brief two-game set.
Best team in the National League in town. They kind of owe the White Sox one after what the Sox did to them in St. Louis. Let me get back.
Weather's supposed to be great.
Oh, all week.
So
tremendous.
There should be people out there.
Yeah. Who's going for the Sox tonight?
Rodon.
Carlos Rodon. You've got Rodon an opportunity to see two really exciting young pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Waka's going to break your heart because you're going to think as a Sox fan, I have to check out those details, but he was a guy that in that draft.
Who did they get?
I have to go double check that, but I think I remember that story because when he was pitching in the World Series.
They got the – I think the Cubs in that same draft got Brett Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Wow. And then Carlos Rodon, who to me is one of your three pieces that you don't move as you get into this phase where everything is available. Everyone is available for the right price. I don't think Carlos Rodon is the guy that you move. He's the guy that you lock in there and you project as your number two starter. Opening day – opening season, 2016, Carlos Rodon is your number two starter. Now, maybe if you can go out in free agency, if you can make a trade, and you can get a number two starter that is comparable to Jeff Samardzija.
He'd be your number three.
Rodon might be number three. Okay, maybe next year's too soon.
Sal Quintana, Rodon.
Well, hold on there. To see you're killing the vibe. The vibe is you're moving everything out. Everything's got to go, Sal, right? The Rickon, everything's got to go, Sal, at 35th and Shields.
Except Sal.
Yeah.
Everything's got to go except Sale.
Except Sale, Abreu, and Rodon. They're the ones kind of sitting at the lawn, at the card tables with the lawn chairs taking the money for the everything must go Sale.
And by the way, the numbers on Jose Abreu, not great.
Not great.
No.
He's taking a step back this year. Do you think it's because, A, they have not done a nice job of protecting him, surrounding him in the lineup with hitters that are going to scare anybody? And he's not getting the pitches to hit. B, he's putting too much pressure on himself.
Be.
C, he's just not that good.
I think he's a really good player.
I do too.
I don't know if he's at the numbers he was last year. By the way, that draft, Chicago Cubs select Albert Almora, number six overall.
What year?
2012.
Okay, 2012. The Cardinals select Michael Wacha when? 18?
19.
19?
The White Sox at 13 took Courtney Hawkins.
Oh! That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
And when the Cubs picked at six,
mercy,
they left Andrew Haney, who's really good, was traded to the
Can't
Dodgers.
Do that with the Cubs. Cubs picked a quality guy with Almora.
Okay.
Albert Almora.
Addison Russell went 11th. Courtney Hawkins 13. Lucas Giolito, who's the number one minor league pitcher in the game with the Nasty Nats, 16. Corey Seager, who's really good with the Dodgers, 18. Michael Wacha, 19. Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays, very good pitcher, 22. So, yeah.
But you can't say, though, about the Cubs that that was a bad pick. I mean, Albert Almora just represented Team USA in, was that the Pan Am Games that he just came back from? Albert Almora is still, I think, would you agree, based on your reports and everything, still on the way up. He's a guy they have not lost faith in.
No, he's not been great offensively, really good defensively.
Has he been a disappointment offensively so far? Could he be a trade piece?
Yes.
Would you trade him?
Yes.
David Price. I don't know. I don't know if enough about Elmore's development. I guess that it's a possibility. But when you say Courtney Hawkins, there's really little doubt that that one stings if you're a Sox fan. Michael Wacha, 19, six picks, still on the board. A guy that's already got a World Series ring.
And
right?
He was
yikes.
The compensation pick for the loss of Albert Pujols.
Not bad. See what he did last night?
Three homers in two games.
Yeah, he's on a pretty
good clip. By the way, the Red Sox stink.
Yeah, they do. Well, yeah, they've had a season worth of stink.
They're bad.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Pujols passes Mike Schmidt. That puts into perspective how accomplished his career already has been. Even though he's not had the greatest experience on the West Coast since leaving the Cardinals, 549 homers, I believe, with a guy that has he escaped the
Passed
cloud?
Passed Mike Schmidt.
As I just said. Has he escaped the cloud of suspicion?
Mike Schmidt is what they're comparing Chris Bryant to. Has he escaped the cloud of suspicion? For me, yes.
With Pujols?
Everything leaks today, and his name has never really been leaked as a steroid guy.
Yeah, I want to agree with you. I do. I really want to agree with you, but I don't. I don't know why. I just want to wait and see.
Okay, so
I'm just gonna gloss over the idea that you just compared Chris Bryant to Mike Schmidt.
No, I didn't. I said that's what people are comparing.
Oh, that's always a cop out when you say. People say that you've been compared to Mike Schmidt. People say that you have done this. People say what? That's what you think.
That's a comp.
You're comparing him.
I'm not. Compared him to Troy Gloss.
That's probably less pressure to live up to. That's what Joe Maddon compared him to. I think that's safe ground. Feel like the weight of history on your shoulders if you say, well, he reminds me a lot of Troy Gloss. You say he's going to be like Mike Schmidt. You're like, you're gripping the bat all of a sudden really tight.
Mike Trout give you any pause for that he's doing anything illegal?
No. He grew up, he was developed in the post-PED era where clean baseball is embraced, is the kind of rules the day.
Giancarlo Stanton give you pause at all?
I guess my hesitation there says yes.
Yeah, exactly. So Mike covered Trout. He's a – I stood next to him. Brett and I got to take a picture of him because he's Brett's favorite player. Dude, that guy's jacked.
He's got a neck like Urlacher.
He does.
And he runs probably a 4.340. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's a monster. Yeah, and I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm just saying in today's times, anytime somebody is so – off the grid better than everyone else.
But
you
Cap,
gotta
he's off the,
immediately
he's,
go,
he's
what
off
are you doing?
The grid because of how many different things he does well, right?
Right.
I think that when you talk about Stanton, he's off the grid because of what? Because of his prodigious power.
Yeah.
So people that stand up for their prodigious power more than anything else, I think naturally raise your suspicion.
Hey, as we take a break, Shane Bacon's going to join us to talk British Open. Zach Johnson wins it yesterday in four-hole playoff. The Texas Rangers stepped to the podium in the 15th round of the 2012 draft. Who did they take?
15th round of the 2012 draft.
He did not sign.
Texas Rangers select Russell Wilson from the
Seattle
Seahawks.
Texas Rangers select Jameis Winston of Florida State University.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Imagine how history would have been changed had he signed with the Rangers.
All right, quick timeout. Shane Bacon, Fox Sports golf analyst. We'll talk about yesterday's dramatic British Open ending. We'll be right back.